Welcome to the 54 Problems Podcast, the global mini golf podcast. Hear from some of the best players in the sport. Look ahead to some of the biggest tournaments and have a chance to win some amazing prizes. And now your hosts, Andrew Edmonds and Simon Brown.
Hello and welcome to the 54 Problems Podcast. This is the second part of episode 3, where we continue talking to Pasi Aho, the vice president of the WMF. We look at tournaments, both past and in the future, discuss a controversial topic, and play the Guess the Hole competition. I think it's a really great interview.
Yes, yeah, it's another one that just begged to be made into two parts in the best possible way. And Guess the Hole still to come. That's always good, because we get your emails and we welcome your emails. We haven't said that at any point. Feel free to email anything, criticism, compliments. Andrew enjoys a compliment, but particularly if you know the hole or you know the course, get emailing. We genuinely do give away good prizes, good gifts, and you never know, we could come and find you in any compromising situation to give you it. Not that I have anything planned.
That's right. We're still going to give out the prize for episode 2. We have picked a winner now. We're just figuring out how to surprise him.
So if you entered Guess the Hole last time, I would, and you're listening to the podcast in the next few days, if you're listening to it quite soon to when it went out, I would look over your shoulder carefully. Because one of us, in the coming days or weeks, we're coming for you. So, yeah, if you sent an email, just keep an eye out.
And if that is an incentive to get involved, I don't know what is. What am I sneaking up on you?
I mean, that's all you ever wanted. Yep. A bit of engagement and then you get stopped. It's perfect, isn't it?
Okay, sit back and enjoy episode 3, part 2.
Getting to know you.
Pasi, do you have a mini golf nickname? And if so, where did it come from?
I think the only nickname I have is Paho, and I think it's pretty logical where it comes from.
Okay. What is your greatest achievement? It doesn't have to be your best finish or anything like that. Just looking back over everything you've done, what are you the most proud of?
In a way, in the youngest history, what we did in China, I'm really proud of. We organized a championship for 250 participants, players, coaches included, in an environment where 24 months before the championship, nobody knew what's going to happen. There was no course. There was just an area on the field. And a year and a half later, we had a fantastic mini golf center and WMF staff plus local staff who were running the championship in a fantastic manner. And another moment, a personal moment I want to mention is, I've never won any international medal as a player, but 2012, the Youth World Championships, I was coaching Finland as usual, and when Etu Ikola won the only, if you go back to 80s, there is one European Championship title, but in the recent mini golf time, the only gold medal for Finland at World or European Championships until the adventure golf started. So this moment when my good friend Etu Ikola aced the last lane in the match play and won the gold medal and became a world champion. That moment I will never forget.
Awesome. I think that those are both two amazing achievements, absolutely. What advice would you have for new players of the sport?
Don't take it too seriously until you have to.
Okay.
At some point you have to if you want to become a good player, but enjoy it.
Cool. Okay. And what is your favorite course?
The next one where the tournament is. I have so many favorite courses. I've of course my club's home course in Neutraubling, Germany is very dear to me. Mm-hmm. The course where I probably play most tournaments is Kep in Czech Republic, mm-hmm. because it's very near and there's always a good community, as we discussed earlier, with all the things aside the mini golf. I think these are the most important for me at the moment. Horní Bestekov would come pretty soon after that. I go there rather often. I've played many tournaments there, organized a great wagon with them. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But any course is interesting. Whatever comes next, I'll play it.
Okay, so now you can time travel. You can go one place forward or back in time, and you do get to come home after your trip. But you only get to choose one place to travel to. When would you pick and why?
It's a mini golf time travel or any travel.
Anything you want. Anything you want to do. You get one trip. Let's say it's 24 hours. What would you want to do?
Ah, no, 24 hours is not enough. But let's say that in about 5 years, an international mini golf championship in USA would be nice.
Okay.
I would be there.
I'll give you, how long would you like? 4 days, 5 days?
No, you know how much it needs for a proper championship. A week.
A week. Okay, you can have a week. 1 week for a international or world stage tournament in the USA. If you had to, and I realize this might be more difficult for you than other people because you have 28 balls with your name on it, but if you had to pick one ball that's memorable or significant to you for whatever reason, what ball would you pick and why?
I really can't name it. I have a bag full of favorite balls that I always take me to the tournaments, but there is not a single ball that I could say is more important than the others.
How many balls are in this bag?
In this bag, maybe 30, 40.
Forty favorite balls that you have.
30, 40 balls that I trust, I often rely on when I don't know any better. Mm-hmm. They are my starting point. Very often they might work, so I surely take one of them before looking for any similar ball.
Yeah, I do the same. Simon, I'm not sure if it's the same with you, but I have a bag of core balls as well. So I have my core balls. I think I probably have less, I guess around 20. And then if I can't find a ball in there, I'm going through my suitcase and I'm going through my other bags.
Yeah, spot on. To be exact, I have 7 and I keep them in my left pocket. So the first time I walk onto a course, I put my 7 balls in my left pocket and I go and I figure out from there what the jumping off points would be. And those 7 are all completely different and they give me an idea of what to do next for the next 18 I play.
I reckon it's the way the balls you play more often, you know.
Yeah, you see it come off an obstacle, say, or you see how it comes out a pipe, and you understand that ball. So that gives you an idea of what you need to change to get it more exact.
And especially on other systems, like if you play miniature golf or felt, you have the standard lane, middle hill. If possible, and mostly it is, I always play the middle hill with same ball, because I need to see that ball on the tee off area when I'm doing the stroke. Otherwise, something is not all right. So that gives a certain feeling that doesn't guarantee that I'll ace it, but at least, yeah, it's a familiar situation and you want to be comfortable and that's why you take one of your trusted balls.
I think that almost takes us back to, we spoke to Ed Pope in one of the last episodes, and it almost takes us back again to having that comfort ball. So I think, as ever, if there's anything people listening to take away, is get your comfort balls. If you're new to the sport, get things you're comfortable to judge, and that way you can trust what you do next.
Yeah, absolutely. Learn to know your 5 or 10 balls very well before you invest in new ones, which you will need at some point. But if you know your 5 or 10 favorite balls very well, you also know how you can vary them and use in different situations.
Okay, how does this sound as an idea for a new episode? Simon's 7, a deep dive into the 7 balls that Simon has in his left pocket.
I mean, that could be the least listeners we've had yet. I think next time we do anything controversial and we need to do a safe episode, we'll do that.
Simon 7.
And then he will reveal that 4 of them are actually different golf balls.
Different colours, yeah. The same ball, just all different colours.
Yeah.
But they're all WMF approved and we paid 50 pence for each one.
Lovely.
Now, this is where we get into the real meat of the episode. We discuss previous tournaments that have happened over the last month, and we take a look ahead to the important tournaments for the next month. This is Tournament Talk.
Tournament Talk.
Tournament Talk.
Tournament Talk. So, Simon, do you want to begin by talking us through, as you were there, the Cardiff Open that happened on the 17th of July?
Yes, yeah, why not? It's it's been a couple of weeks now, and I had some time to think about it. As ever, just playing that level of indoor course is a joy. To take the weather out of it, to play mini golf to such an exact level. We don't play enough indoors in the UK, and I guess it's closer to the continental styles in a way to have that level of exact technical mini golf. And yeah, it was interesting. We've got a lot of newish players on tour in the UK who have done some amazing things. They've hit some, you know, good scores outdoors, even had the first podium, and that was a test for them to replicate that form indoors. But at the end, you know, it was the same names at the top of the leaderboard. So Seve Kukielka, friend of the podcast, of course, he finally won in Wales, his home event. He's done so much in the last couple of years, and he finally, I think he wanted it. I don't think I'll mind me saying he wanted it more than most things. I think he was even quoted as saying he wanted it more than a major. And he deserved it. He's deserved it before now. And yeah, he was top class. He shot 16 under, which is exactly what I thought the winning line would be. It equaled the previous best that's been hit before there by Michael Smith.
For Passy's context, Seve has never won the Cardiff Open before. What happened when I was there to witness this as well? 2018, he was in a tie-off for first place against Steve Lovell. Seve messed up the first hole. Steve Lovell ended up winning it. Now, one thing that happened this year in this tournament, Seve aced every single first hole. So he aced hole number one every single time he played it after messing it up so badly on the playoff. So I think that shows you that the impact that had on him and how much that he wanted to win it. And now he's finally won it, which is great.
But he held off some fantastic competition. The scores so much better than previously. It's one of these courses in practice. We put in low numbers and it counts for nothing because we don't in tournaments. This year, people started to put in good numbers. So second place, though, nobody mentioned him before, was Andy Exel.
Yep.
We forget how good he is. So next time we'll talk about tournaments, we need to start factoring him in because why do we forget? He's fantastic.
Didn't his nickname used to be Mr. Two? So it's logical he was second.
Yes, yeah.
Back in the years, Andy was always second.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah. For a while, Seve took over that mantle for a couple of years, but he's shaken that now. So, yeah. And he's got it back. But I don't think he'll complain being second in that course. And yeah, I think performance of the day, though, in fourth place was James Sharp, one of the Gloucester Aces players. And I have to be honest, he's in my club. He's an amazing putter. But to me, he's got such a big golf background. He actually works on a golf course. He's got an amazing history with playing big golf. And I didn't think he'd adapt to indoors. But yeah, what he managed to do on a technical mini golf course without playing technical mini golf showed just how good he is. And for me, he's going to be the next person to get a podium in the UK that hasn't had one before. We've had a few first-time podiums this season. I think he'll get one within this 12 months. So yeah, huge shout out to James for how well he played.
Okay, and who was third, just to round out the top three?
Ed Pope. And I played with Ed Pope the day before I practiced with him, and I thought he'd win the event. He looked fantastic. And some other guy was fifth, but he let himself down.
Badly.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
If it wasn't obvious, that was Simon himself that came fifth.
Yeah. Yes. Even though it's been held over several years on two different courses, every single thing that's ever been called the Cardiff Open, I have finished fifth in, no matter who's played it. So yeah, they'd be nice not to do that next year. So I look forward to being sixth.
Passy, we mentioned that when we were talking about Cardiff Open, indoor and outdoor courses and the outdoor players adapting to the indoor style of play with the very exacting standards. Do you have a preference?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. For me, mini golf is still more an outdoor sport, but obviously the indoor courses they make it possible to play a 12-month season, so they are a fantastic thing. There are fantastic indoor venues all around Europe and beyond, for sure. But somehow the extra challenge that comes with the weather, whether it's cold, windy, hot, yeah, it's I don't know if the chances for surprises are higher when the conditions are different. It depends on, I mean, no big preference, definitely. As I said, where the next tournament is, I'll play. But I still like the outdoor character of mini golf.
So looking ahead to the future then, looking ahead to the next month, Simon, we have something coming up this next weekend, the weekend after this episode airs.
Yes, yeah, that will be the Balaton Cup in Hungary. So Hungary have just entered the WAGM a few weeks ago. They had three players in the WAGM, I believe, and a couple of them are UK-based. One of them, Balázs Tompa, he's passionate about playing the Balaton Cup in Hungary. Now, I don't know much about Hungarian mini-golf. Balázs is keen to share, and he tells me it's the 26th time the Balaton Cup's been held. It goes from Friday to Sunday. They have a sort of a fun format on the Friday where to enter at the cost is you have to donate a bottle of alcohol. So that sounds fun. But then they get down to business on the Saturday and Sunday, and it's a proper competition then. They have singles on the Saturday and doubles on the Sunday. The singles, I think, is over three rounds, but the last one is one ball only. And then on the doubles on the Sunday, they have a couple of twists to put some pressure on the second player, where they can disregard certain scores and put it down to one player, etc. So I think they've got a fantastic thing going for 26 years in Hungary that we didn't know anything about. So huge good luck to Balázs, and hopefully on top of being at WAGM, he now does something good over in his home country. I bet he's excited.
Awesome. And again, we'll put some information about that on the Facebook page so you can follow along at home. Do you know anything about the course at all there, Simon?
No, I don't, to be honest. But I do know one thing.
Yeah.
Balazs will film a video every single place he plays. I haven't asked him, but I know he will. So I'm sure if we tag him on Facebook, he will share pictures and video content and we'll know the course better than ever. Maybe Passy knows. Yeah, but we don't.
No, he doesn't. This time he doesn't. It's been a long time that I was in Hungary for mini golf. It's nice to see that they are waking up again after a short period of sleep. There have been some international participations. They were in China as well. They've some very good players who play in the Austrian league. Mm. Hello to Staba Palinkas and Adam Fasekas, very successful juniors from 15 years ago. Yeah, it's time to get things going again in Hungary. It's I'm sure the place is lovely and the weekend will be a good community again.
Yeah, so to anyone listening, check the Facebook and I will make sure that Balazs shares. He'll probably put a link up to his YouTube channel. He's got some fantastic, he puts up videos of getting aces in different courses. He tries to get 18 aces. So yeah, hopefully I can share those and take a look. Yeah, he's getting about the continent and having a look at, he'll play any surface, he'll play a lot more than a lot of us will. So yeah, it's worth having a look at. So good luck to Balazs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love those videos as well. So what it is 18 aces on every hole, there's an ace. But it's edited, so there's only one attempt. So you're watching 18 shots and each one is an ace. But you get a sense of how difficult it was on each hole to get an ace by the celebration they do when it goes in.
Yeah.
So on some holes, they get an ace and they'll go mad to celebrating. And you know, it maybe took 50 attempts or something like that.
Oh, somebody suggested doing one at Dunton Hills. yeah, and all seriousness, they did. Let's not. I spent a day there yesterday and didn't get one single ace. So, yeah. so that's Balazs' biggest challenge one day.
August is the championship month of WMF and EMF, the European Mini Golf Sport Federation. Next week, starting Tuesday, alternatively Wednesday for the seniors, we have Youth and Seniors World Championships, both played in Germany. In two different locations, and 2 weeks later we have the general class European Championships played in Austria. There will be a lot of Facebook, Instagram content. The result links obviously will be provided a few days before the tournaments kick off. So follow World Mini Golf Sport Federation and European Federation on Facebook, and you will have the latest news for the main championships of the 2022. Of course, not to forget Wagam, but that's history already. Looking forward to the next Wagam. And now it's the August championship time.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll put those links on our Facebook page as well, so you can follow along from home.
Excellent.
So the month of August is a bumper month for the City Golf Tour, with the final three qualification rounds happening before the final then in September. So on the 6th and 7th of August is Sundsvall. So I will be there competing with one of my club mates from Aga Aba Club, Wojto Miskowski, and I will tell you all about it next month. But yeah, I'm excited to go to that, excited to go to another City Golf course, because I did enjoy the one in Sundbyberg so much. On the 20th and 21st of August, there's another qualification round in on Skjoldsvik, and on the 27th and 28th of August, the final qualification round in Örebro. So we spoke to the City Golf tournament organizer and someone involved in the City Golf organization in our last special episode. They're really passionate about it, and one thing they do is really, really good live streaming. So for those dates, there's three tournaments in August. do check out the live streams because they are really, really good. And I'll put the links on Facebook. And if you check out the one on the 6th and the 7th of August, you might be able to cheer me on. That's in Sunsvale.
Yes, I'm sure if you make any aces on video, you will share them on many forms of social media.
All of them.
All of them, even the ones we don't know exist.
And finally from me, on the 27th of August, will be the Agger Abba Marathon. So we mentioned this a little bit in episode 2. This is 12 hours of mini golf on the front course of Horní Bezdíčov. I'll be playing that as well. I'm really looking forward to it. I had an absolutely amazing time last year, so I'm very much looking forward to that. Passy, have you considered playing the marathon?
After having played it already 3 or 4 times, I definitely, it's one of the tournaments I always consider, but this time the schedule problems. But I think it will be this time a little bit easier to let it go because I'll be following it from Spain from holidays, so yeah, I think I can handle it. But yeah, it's a great tournament. 21 rounds we did a couple of years ago, I believe, in 12 hours. I think if anybody thinks that mini golf is not a sport, welcome to the marathon and try it.
I have one more to mention. For the UK-based listeners, it's the Dunton Open this weekend coming up. So Dunton Open is held in Essex, and it is the Strokes Mini Golf Club's Open this year. They're holding it in Dunton. It's a challenge of a course. You see some massive scores. Don't think people can't putt. Go and play the course and then say they can't putt. Oh, what a course it is. It divides everybody. It challenges everybody. And like Passy mentioned earlier, go and play Dunton. Play that for a home day and then say mini golf isn't a sport. That is a challenging sport that will tax you mentally. So there's huge names playing it in the UK. Everybody from Michael Smith to Mark Chapman to Seve Kukielka, all the way through the field. It will be one of the biggest assemblings of talent we have in the UK outside of the majors, and it will be fascinating as ever. Traditionally, Michael Smith dominates. He's only ever lost there twice or once, I believe. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see who goes well. I was 6th last year myself, so I'd be happy about the same this time. Yeah, we'll see. But that'll be, it's always a fascinating one, Dunton. That always chews us all up.
So I've seen videos from Dunton and pictures, and it really looks challenging, and it's clear that not everybody likes it. But to me, it brings a little bit memories from the old Hastings mini course, which used to be where the Pirate course is now. That was also a similar challenge. Large greens or large holes and no boundary in sight. If you miss your putt, the next one will be double as long and you get frustrated. But when you do well, it's a very pleasant feeling. So I'll be following this course from Dunton.
Yeah, it's a fascinating place to play. And it is the only place I play mini golf where you would celebrate. Yesterday, I got 7 twos consecutively. And that was cause to celebrate getting 7 twos. Well, usually you'd be pulling your hair out. You'd be so disappointed. So, yeah, it's a change in mindset for one weekend.
Yeah, it'd be kind of, hearing you say that, I think it'd be kind of interesting to think about what is the world's hardest course. And I don't mean that in terms of the biggest scores, because I know there's a course in Kosovo where the lanes are really long, so lots of holes you're not getting a 2. But with Dunton, a 2 should be possible on every hole. So if there's some kind of way to measure, you know, what are the world's most hardest holes, so where 2s are possible but you're not getting them or you're really having to fight to get them, I think that'd be interesting. I imagine Dunton would be fairly high up that list. Now, are we ready to get a little bit controversial and discuss a hot topic. So what we do here is we discuss something that we know there's discussion about in a mini golf community, where some people think one way and some people think the other way. So I'm going to pose a yes-no question. Simon is going to give the answer on one side, I'm going to give the answer on the other side, and then Passy, as an independent guest, you're going to cast the first vote, and then we'll take it to a poll on our Facebook page where we want to hear what you, the listener, thinks. So this is Hot Topic.
Hot Topic.
The hot topic for this episode is, should ace calls be policed? So this is, during a tournament, should there be some kind of policing? Should there be some kind of penalties introduced for ace calls, the shouts or celebrations that people make when they score an ace, I suppose, in the events where they become excessive? It's a yes or no question, though. Simon, should ace calls be policed? Yes or no?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I love them. I think we've mentioned, Passy's mentioned already, about one thing people need to keep having fun when you play mini golf. And you have so many people out in the field who are unlikely to win an event. They need to enjoy it. And one of the bits of enjoyment that will come for any player is we all make aces sometimes. Some a lot, some occasionally. But when you make an ace, having an ace call is such a... it's a moment of joy. It's a moment of release, I guess. The question mark, of course, comes... do people use the ace calls as a form of intimidation? Do they use it to tell other players in the course that they're doing well? Or is it just for themselves? And I guess that's why people don't like it. And then, is it off-putting? Does it put you off to hear noise, to hear somebody shout? I think the UK players are quite quiet. There's only a handful of us that ace call significantly and notably. We all know Chapman's, come on. And the psychological element of that is people know when he's had an ace. And if you hear that 3 times in 5 minutes, you start to think, maybe he's going to hit a 28, and then you think about it. I love it, and the psychological element of it is fascinating. But even myself, I wonder, what is too far? Because I've developed a sort of chain of ace calls now. So I have my first ace call, but then I have a new call for if I have back-to-back aces, and another call if I get 3 in a row. So you get to the point that people will then know if you've got back-to-back aces or if you've got 3 in a row. And then you get into a bit of an ethical dilemma of, is it okay to be making people aware and putting on pressure on your achievements? But we see it in other sports. And I mean, I think it's the Germans I've seen abroad. When one of them gets an ace, they all shout around the course. So everyone knows the German team's doing well. So there's definitely an element of it's for other people's benefit. Is that acceptable? I don't know. But we're there to have fun. We're there to celebrate the achievements. So sign me up. I'm there for ace calls. The funnier the better. Let's just enjoy playing. If you're making aces, you're doing well. Enjoy it.
Yeah, so the I do know the reason that some European countries tend to be louder. You mentioned Germany there, is they have viewed it historically as much more of a team sport than in England. So in England, it's pretty much a very individual sport. But in Germany and other European countries, they treat the team aspect is almost more important to them than the individual aspect, which is why you do tend to get louder ace calls, because people want to let their team members know that they've done well and that kind of thing. In the interest of fairness, I will give the arguments on the other side. So it's a yes, no question. Should ace calls be policed? Simon said no. Some of the arguments for yes, then. Mini golf is a sport where you have to concentrate, and an ace call could break your concentration. So in other sports where this kind of deep concentration, for example, big golf, you have to be quiet when someone is playing on big golf. They have stewards that hold up signs that say quiet on it. Similarly for snooker, you have to be quiet when your opponent is taking their shots, and the crowd knows they have to be quiet when someone is taking their shots. So it is a sport of concentration, and being loud could impact someone's concentration. Also, as well, I think it one argument for yes, they should be pleased, is that ace calls aren't just used for celebration, but they are also used for intimidation and purposely trying to put other players off their game, which isn't sporting conduct, and so I think should be policed. So you've heard some arguments for no, you've heard some arguments for yes. Pasi, now, if you had to decide, where would your vote go? On no or yes, should ace calls be policed?
90% no. Mm-hmm. For and also those 10% for yes, for all the reasons you have already mentioned. As long as it does not get too excessive, I think it's fine. Intimidation, yes, sure. You can discuss if it's necessary in an open tournament where it's really, of course, it's about winning, but not about winning a national title or something. So I think you have to also see the different contexts where it's, when it's a team competition, I think it definitely belongs mm-hmm. to the program. If you are making an ace and you are cheering, then your teammates are cheering back a little bit back, not too much, because that's where the line is for me a little bit lower than for individual cheering. What it definitely is a no-go is knowing that somebody is concentrating behind you, in front of you, can't see you, can't anticipate that you are going to do an ace call, and then you are doing an excessive or a loud call. That's unsportsmanlike. But for me, that intimidation part as such is still not a problem. Like I said, if Chapman is doing 5 aces on the first 8 holes, bloody hell, everybody should know it.
Yes.
It's clear. Yeah. So a 90% no policing.
And finally, then, it's Guess the Hole, our competition where the listeners could win an amazing prize. And actually, in episode 1, Pasi, we gave away a Pasi selection ball, number 8, I believe it was. So, as you know, a very, very good prize.
A lovely ball, number 8.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they were quite happy with it. It's a very, very nice ball. So this is where, Pasi, you're going to describe a hole to us, and the listeners have to guess on what course is that hole. Not the hole number, just on what course that hole is. So, Pasi Aho, do you have a hole in your head?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's play Guess the Hole.
Guess.
Pasi, what do you see when you walk up to the hole?
In its original form, I saw problems. Nowadays, I see a chance.
Okay.
There is a bridge on the way to the proximity of the hole. Mm-hmm. Then there is a nice marble plate to rebound on. Not straight back, but to the side. And if you miss, the problems are bigger than before. There's a lot of water underneath, but you will almost never end up in there. And you've seen a lot of pictures taken with that bridge on the background, under the player's bunch, whatever. There is a yeah, nearby is a, I think it's called a totem, where some very good players, it's kind of a pole where very good players get their names on.
Okay.
Every year,
a few times. Ah, a totem. Yeah. Okay.
A totem. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good club.
Lovely setup, all in all, and a difficult hole.
Yeah, I like to chip in with one clue each week, each episode with this. This time, I'm going to give the clue of, I don't know what hole this is. So, that doesn't help anyone unless you know me and you know what I play. So if I don't know what it is, that might be a clue.
Okay, and I'll equally say I do know. I do know what it is as well.
But as a last hint, yeah, that Will Donnelly knows this hole, but he might not remember it.
Okay, Will Donnelly knows this hole, but he might not remember it. Okay, so talking big
just
bridge.
Just Will. Greetings, but... greetings.
Yeah, he does listen. Will Donnelly does
he
listen.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he does indeed.
Cool, so we're talking big bridge, marble rebound off the side is a possibility. And if you miss, you're in trouble. But yeah, if you get it, you got your chance of getting your name on a totem.
And you two know it. I don't know it. And Will Donnelly knows it but might have forgotten it.
Those are all the clues.
Yeah, this is abstract. I'm enjoying this.
So if you think you know what course that hole is on, email 54problems@gmail.com and you can win a prize that's equally as awesome as Passy number 8 selection board. All right, that is it for episode 3. Passy, did you have a good time on the podcast? Did you enjoy yourself?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I hope I didn't talk too much. It was very interesting, and I'm becoming a regular listener, so I will keep on following you.
Thank you, Passy. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I've really enjoyed hearing from you and learning about your career and what you do at the moment and your thoughts on Minigolf. It's been an absolute pleasure for us. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Oh, it's lovely, lovely for you to say as well that you're beginning to be a regular listener as well. That's really, really lovely, and that means a lot coming from you. Is there anything else you'd like to say at all, anything that you were hoping we would cover that we haven't discussed, or are you all good?
There is so much to cover, but... I can come back in 2 years or whenever you ask me.
You can absolutely come back. We'll absolutely ask you again. So, yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have you back. Okay, then. The final thing for me to do is announce the guest for the next episode. Or should I say guests? That's right. Appearing on the next episode of the 54 Problems podcast will be the cast of the 1980 musical Fame. So obviously we're really excited to have the cast of the 1980 musical Fame onto the show. If you do have any questions for the cast of Fame, please email them in at 54problems@gmail.com. And that is it. So it is goodbye from Passy.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye from Simon.
Goodbye. Yeehaw, come on.
Come on.
That's for Gottfried.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.